Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair from the voice of Vashon 101.9 on the frequency modulation band and streaming live from voiceofvashon.org. And we have a lot to cover today, so we're going to move into it in a smart and seamanlike fashion. And we start by introducing to my audience, but certainly not to me, my friend Charlotte Tinkin. And Charlotte's husband is Bill West, juris doctor and bus driver, school bus driver extraordinaire. And he's been on with me before. He was one of the first friends that I had on when I started doing this with my own broadcast, and I will have him on again. But Charlotte, good afternoon to you, dear, and it is a delight to have you with me. So if you would introduce yourself and tell us how you and I became connected together.
Thank you, Captain Joe, and thank you for having me on this gorgeous summer day. I'm so happy to see the sun and feel the warmth. I told Bill last week, I said, okay, I'm done with the cold. Done. So it's nice to have it. Let's see. When did you and I first meet? I think it was through the Vashon Community Care. Is that right?
It's exactly so. And you were on the board.
Yep.
And I was on the board, and I was also functioning as the manager of the finances for reasons about which we need not go into in any great detail here, but that's when it was. And, it was not long after that that it became clear to me that you were a lady of many talents, and one of those is your theater connection. And one of the ones that I went to in town was a theater with which you were the executive director, I believe, and that was Book It. So
yes.
What was Book It all about?
Well, I was the managing director at Book It Repertory Theater for 7 years and moved out here to the island right as I got that job with Bill, and because he was working in Tacoma at the time. And so we decided that this would be a great way to split the commute distance so that he wouldn't have to go all the way to Tacoma from where we were living in North Seattle. I've been involved in theater for most of my life, and have been out here in the Northwest since 1990, and worked as the managing director at Book It Repertory Theater for 7 years. There are a lot of people on the island who are familiar with Book It and love Book It. The wonderful thing that I loved about Book It is that they did theater with a purpose, a real purpose. They adapted novels for the stage. And their goal was to get people to read. And it was a lovely, lovely time there. And I still love the organization and go back as often as I can to see performances, although there are no theaters doing performances right now, but hopefully in the future, things will change. So
one of the things that I have enjoyed about yours and my friendship is the work that you've done with theater productions here on the island.
Yeah.
And one of them, which comes immediately to mind, is Red Ranger Came Calling.
Yes.
And I remember that you directed Red Ranger Came Calling, and that's a very interesting story. And I'm going to hand off to you to tell a little bit about that, and then I'm going to tell a Red Ranger story, which you may or may not know, and that has to do with Berkeley Breathed, who wrote the book.
Mm-hmm.
So from your point of view, over to you, Charlotte.
Well, I was we did Red Ranger Came Calling is this wonderful story that was written by Berkeley Breathed, who is of Opus fame, if you don't know him otherwise. He lives in California now, but he and his wife lived on Vashon for a few years, and he got to know the community, fell in love with everyone, and then he wrote this wonderful story about Vashon and being on Vashon. I think his father came here as a young boy. Is that right?
I believe that's true,
and that's
yes.
Where the story came from. So Book It took that story and adapted it for the stage and did it as a performance years and years ago, and then revived it when I was at Book It. And that's how I got to know the story and fell in love with it. And then Drama Doc decided that they wanted to do it here on the island about 4 or 5 Christmases ago now.
Yes.
And so they asked me to direct it. And so it was a Book It, originally Book It, and then Drama Doc picked it up. But I love the story. I think it's marvelous. And it's the story of the bike in the tree, how the bike got in the tree.
But it also involves a certain lighthouse. What lighthouse might that be?
It involves a Point Robinson lighthouse,
indeed,
which you are very familiar with.
Indeed it does. I had to kind of lead you into that one. So here is my Berkeley Breathed and Red Ranger Came Calling story. And it also ties in with Bashan Community Care, because Berkeley came and he gave a reading here on the island, mm-hmm. of some of his work. And he was set up, and one of the things that was set up right next to him was a Christmas tree. And there were people dressed in costumes appropriate to the Red Ranger story. And Berkeley is reading away, and then the audience looking in horror and yet hopefulness, the tree started to fall over. And it very slowly made its way, headed right toward Berkeley. And one of the characters in suitable costume, and I think it was the spaceman, ran up and caught the tree just before it fell over onto Berkeley Breathed and held it until he got to the end of his reading. There was not a beat missed anywhere in the story, and the audience was absolutely enthralled with watching the tree as it slowly made its way toward Berkeley. Berkeley continuing on, knowing full well exactly what was going on. And it is one of my favorite stories about island life as to how we are fazed by very little here on the island. And when we are fazed, it is at a relatively low level.
Yes.
So you have been involved with a number of things. And my mother, your mother lived the last years of her life at Vashon Community Care. And I'm going to invite you to make any commentary that you would like to make. This is my custom with all of the friends that I have on, because I'm going to move now into some of my regular features. And for the four or five broadcasts since Mary's death, I have talked a little bit about that, and starting with the one the day after her death. And I've received so many wonderful, heartfelt, and warm comments, including many from people who have had the same experience of a sudden death of someone close aboard, and but are not able to articulate about it.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to continue that here, because I went into a slump at the beginning of last week. And I'm trying to figure out why, because here there's a list of words that we're not supposed to use, and so I'm just going to say the first part of the expression: for 3 days I didn't do jack. And then you add to that one of the words that is on the list of prescribed words, and you figure out which one it might be. For 3 days I didn't do anything. And so, Charlotte, I would appreciate your insight, because you and I have talked about this. You and I had a lovely time together out at Point Robinson a few days ago, and we talked about these things that happened to us, people that we love, and even when a parent dies, it is very difficult, no matter how long you've had that parent in your life. So what do you think about what might have been going on with me with this slump? And then I'll tell you what I figured out and what I've done about it.
Well, I don't know that I can tell you what was going on with you, but I can tell you that when my mother died, and she was 91 when she died, and so it wasn't an unexpected death like it was with your Mary, who I'm still so sorry about that. But I was there with her. I was able to hold my mother's hand and walk her through to the end. And I'm every day I'm thankful for that. And but grief is hard, and grief comes in waves. At least it did for me. And I would be fine one day, and the next day I would be just crying all day long. And so it just it hits you at different times. You smell something that reminds you of the person you love who's gone, or you see something, and all of a sudden it's all right there. So and it takes. People have always told me that it takes a year, a good year, and I believe them now. That I've been through my mother's death, and it really took a good year for me.
So what I have decided when I decided to talk about these things on this program was, first of all, thanks to the Voice of Vashon that I am given the privilege of this outlet to talk about anything that I want, and that the things that I do talk about have struck a responsive chord with a very eclectic audience. And the fact that I have decided to talk about these things, many people have written to me about it. And what you're talking about is very consistent with what happened to me with this business about taking a stand down, which I did not intend to take for 3 days. So what I figured out was that I am one of those people that has to be taking care of all of Captain Joe's people, no matter how many there are. That is the mission that I seem to have taken on in my life. And right now, the only one that's in the house with me is Sailor, and Sailor requires no care. In fact, he believes that he's taking care of me. And so there's nobody there to take care of. And so, so I figured out that this was, first of all, the cause of my disquietude. And secondly, what I was going to do about it was, now being aware of it, that I do not have the right to allow myself to sink into these slumps, because there's always a great deal that has to be done. And so for everybody out there who listens to me, all of my Coast Guard people in particular, because there are so many of you who are in the same situation as I am now, that what Charlotte has to say and what I have to say is sent to you with all of our love and with the conviction that it's going to help you. And Charlotte said something just now, which happened exactly to me, because part of getting through this last week was that some people did, in fact, come and stay with me. And one of them was my daughter, and another one was my granddaughter. My granddaughter, Polly, is an RN in a hospital down in Olympia. So she's in the trenches right this very minute. And of course, is of great concern to me. So what Charlotte said was this business about smell. And while Laurie and Polly were with me for a few days, we were going through some of Mary's things, and I opened up a drawer that I had not been into before. And there were some things in there that had Mary's smell still on it. And I tell you that it just slammed me right in the stern sheets. So for all of you out there who have experienced these things, know that your captain is not only up in the captain's chair, but is passing on the what happened to me, what my solution to it is. For each of you, there may well be a different solution. One of the people that I heard from during the week was Sam, who lives on another island here in Puget Sound, and he finds himself in a pretty high level of anger over some of the things that are going on in the world today. And his solution to that is to cut wood, split it, and then stack it. So, Sam, I hope that for you, Sam is also a poet. He is, in fact, the first of the poet laureates of the state of Washington.
Wow.
And he is, I believe, working on another book. And so when that happens, we will get the word out here on the broadcast from the captain's chair. So I appreciate, Charlotte, you're telling me about that, because as you and I have meshed together on so many things in the past, yet once again, we have done it. I had Carol McLean was on with me last week. Mm-hmm. And one of the stories that I told about Carol was about her going out in the property that she owned before she moved into the house where she now lives. And I caught her out running a chainsaw on her property with nobody there to catch her. So the mm-hmm. chainsaw. And so I had a comment and a remark from one of my listeners about Carol being not afraid to do a man's work. And I can assure, and he also recommended that we ought to make Carol one of our shipmates. So I'm going to send her a note and tell her about this and invite her to become one of, well, she's already one of Captain Joe's people, but to invite her to also be one of the people that we keep track of on the Coast Guard channel. So, Charlotte, I see you have a little list there. Is that your list in front of you?
No, I don't know what this is.
Oh, maybe that one came from the person that was there ahead of you.
Oh, yes, it did.
Okay, so the next thing we're going to talk about is a little bit about leadership. And you know a lot about leadership because you were the leader of several theatrical groups. One of the things that you did, which was not directly connected with theater except in the teaching, but a few years ago, you and Bill moved to Charleston.
That's right.
And you did that for what reason? Well, I know the answer to that, but I want you to tell us.
I have always had a passion for teaching. I love working with young people. It's something that is very dear to my heart. And I had an opportunity to go and teach as an assistant, as a visiting assistant professor at the College of Charleston in South Carolina, which is my hometown. And so we had an opportunity to go back to the South and spend some time there. And I got to teach for 2 years in their arts management program, which is one of the few programs in the country that teaches arts management, arts leadership, and especially for undergraduate students. They're graduate programs, but this was an undergraduate program, and I had a fabulous time, was there for 2 years, loved the teaching, but unfortunately the contract was only for 2 years, and then it went away. So Bill and I made a decision to come back to Vashon because we love it here, and as much as I love Charleston, it's unbelievably hot and humid in the summertime. And it was just something that Bill just couldn't handle. And I was having a hard time handling it, too. I'd forgotten how hot and humid it is there. So we made the decision to come back. And I'm really glad we did. It was the right decision.
So one of the things that you decided to do, you and Bill decided to do when you moved in to the house that you now occupy, was to begin a world championship.
That's true. And that's true.
And that it's world important. Championship is in a sport or a game, or whether it's a sport or not. It is not an Olympic sport, but
it should be.
It could be. It should. Maybe it should be. Maybe right here on the magical isle of Vashon, we are going to be the venue for what is the sport?
It's the International Invitational Isle of Vashon Croquet Tournament of Champions.
Indeed.
And we started this event 4 years ago. It has been, it is getting widely known throughout the island. And it is international and invitational. We've had people from Canada there every year. Unfortunately, this year we had to cancel the event due to the COVID virus, but we will be doing it again next year. It's always the second weekend in July, and it is a monumental event, and one day it may be an event that for the Olympics, we hope.
Right, so. And I certainly hope that that happens. It will certainly, should that happen, eclipse the sheepdog trials, which we have here in June of every year.
Well, I don't want to do that. I love the sheepdog trials.
Right. And this year we were not able to do that. There are a number of hazards, however, on the croquet. It's not a course.
No.
What is it called?
Well, it is a course.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It is a course.
So there are a number of hazards in yours,
yes,
however, which do not exist at the professional level, which is probably held in Argentia, Newfoundland in the springtime. Argentia, Newfoundland is the site of many Coast Guard and Navy visits, and I really don't remember any croquet tournament there. But so if you don't remember what the hazards are, I will tell you what a couple, but you tell me what you think they are, and I'll see if you get them all.
I can tell you one hazard in particular is we have a black lab. Her name is Harper. Harper has pretty well-known disease for black labs, and it's obsessive-compulsive ball disorder. And so she thinks that the croquet balls are balls for her to play with, and she also will bring sticks to people to throw, and so she can definitely be a major hazard.
Do you have deer on your property?
Big time.
Actually, I know that you do, because we all have deer. That means that you need to put your feet down pretty carefully, and if you go barefoot, even more is it necessary for you to be careful because of the deer leaving their gifts as they go around. So I have, Mary and I have been a guest at the croquet, and I'm not very good at it. I'm much better at throwing the ball for Harper, and in fact, we had Harper and the other dog.
Scout.
Yes, we had Harper and Scout with us out at Point Robinson. I encourage dogs that come out to Point Robinson to be taken off of the lead and run free, and Harper, of course, is a professional at running free. So we're not going to have the croquet tournament this year, but next year,
absolutely.
I hope we will.
Absolutely.
And I will plan to be there, and I will plan to participate.
Yay.
Croquet, French word, C-R-O-Q-U-E-T, croquet. So I had a letter during the week. I had a number of letters during the week, but this one touched me in particular, and it was from a shipmate in my icebreaker Northwind. And I'm going to read a couple of quotes from it because it ties in with my ideas and theories on leadership. Charlotte and I have talked about it. I've talked about it frequently on this program. And for me, leadership involves total accountability as well as taking care of the people that are assigned to you to carry out your mission. So this one came from a shipmate whose sobriquet is Gabby, and I'm going to use that as I read a couple of passages from his letter. He says, you will not remember me. You were my first skipper. I reported aboard Northwind as a seaman apprentice directly after completing boot camp. As a wet-behind-the-ears 17-year-old, I joined ship's company ready to make a south trip to McMurdo. McMurdo is the U.S. base on the Ross Sea side of the Antarctic continent. And he goes on to talk about some of the people that were involved. And but here's the quote where a commanding officer, a leader of any kind, has to have as part of his mission to develop the skills in the people that he's privileged to command or to lead, such that he has total faith and confidence in that person. And so here's a quote from Gabby's letter. He says, I remember steering through the leads in the ice with no course bearing or rudder commands, like I was taking the family car out for a Sunday drive. Very large, large family car. You called me Gabby. Gabby, steer her through the ice. And that was the way that I tried to train all of my people. And with Charlotte here, I'm going to make the analogy that I am certain that she also trained her people such that she had trust in them that they would carry out their instructions and that they would, that they could be trusted to be fully compliant with the mission. Charlotte,
yes.
How about giving me a couple groups on that concept?
I think that one of the things that I love about theater is that it's a collaborative art form. You can't do theater all alone. You have to have someone to help with lighting, sound, scenery, costumes. I mean, you just can't be the only person you can be the only person on the stage, but you have to have help. And as a collaborator of theater, I've learned that we all have to work together to make the event happen. And if one person doesn't do their job, then that becomes a problem. And so I've learned that you give people the reins and let them do the work that they're supposed to do. I've always told my staff that my door is open, and if they have any problems, they need to come in and talk to me. But I am not the person to do their job, and that they were hired to do their job. And that I think that has been a really great thing for me to think about as I've moved on in life, that you have to let people do their job. Don't do it for them. If they have problems, they need to come and talk to you, but don't micromanage.
So what I think is important to keep in mind here is that whether it is in a civilian occupation that involves leadership, or if it's in the military, or it is in other fields, that the principles are basically the same. Mm-hmm. Human beings are pretty much the same, no matter what their ethnic extraction is, no matter what what part of the world they come from, that in terms of wanting to belong to an organization that carries out the mission and wanting to belong to an organization which is going to provide covering fire for them when it becomes necessary to do it, it really isn't different. So I'm reading another quote here. I've told the story many times, not necessarily here on, but 1 year it took me 2 weeks to break into McMurdo Station in ice that was very thick. It was multi-year ice. And Gabby writes in his letter to me, he says, and we had one point where we had one of the four main engines down for either maintenance or for casualty. And Gabby says, "I also remember your words, 'I will not abort a mission.' When we only had three of our four main diesels, we proceeded to McMurdo." And so there, the idea is that you never quit. You always keep going, because the people that you are commanding, the people that have been entrusted to your care, are entitled to the best that you can give them. And that best means that you don't give up, you don't quit. And I have a friend that has given me a flag which says, don't give up the ship. Mm. And although I don't fly the flag every day, I frequently in my heart and mind stroke the edges of it when I am tempted not to keep going.
Right.
And I've had some temptations to not keep going in the last 6 weeks.
Right.
So carrying on with a couple more things that Gabby wrote to me, he said, "I will never forget on our way back from the ice, the seas were as tall as the signal bridge, and the helmsman on watch lost his focus and broached the ship. We took a 54-degree roll, and I was a messenger of the watch and turned around to watch the clinometer swing to 54. The helmsman was relieved immediately." And what Gabby doesn't say here is that at this point, I relieved the officer of the deck and brought the ship back in. And this is where the example that no crew, no theater group wants to work for a leader that is not technically competent, mm-hmm. and is going to put them all at risk. So in this particular case, I relieved the officer of the deck, not because he was incompetent, but because this was in a time when the skills that I had accrued over the years, the experience that I had earned over the years, was put to save my ship and to save my crew. And again, drawing an analogy with Charlotte, the same idea is there, that you don't want to belong to a theater organization where the leader doesn't know what the hell he or she is doing. So we have come, unfortunately, to the end of our time. I have a lot more to say, as I always do, but we're going to end, as I always do, with my orders from the captain's chair for each one of you to reach out and touch fingertips with someone you love and tell them that you love them and that you are glad that that person or persons is in your life. Because sometimes we don't do as well as we could or as we should. And so I am asking that in this time when there is so much anger around and when there are so many people unhappy about each other and people blaming everybody else, I'll take responsibility for every mistake that I ever made in command, every mistake I made as a husband or a father, and then we move on from there. Charlotte, love, it was wonderful having you here, and we're now going to move on to March